Pachayam jantos.
Ayusho pachayam jantos.
Tathayo pachayam vibhu.
Tathayo pachayam vibhu.
Ubhavyam raitat svasto.
Ubhavyam raitat svasto.
Dushasya vidadhyasa.
Dushasya vidadhyasa.
Ayusho pachayam jantos.
Ayusho pachayam jantos.
Pachayam vibhu. Ubhavyam rahitah svasto.
Ubhavyam rahitah svasto.
Dustasya vidadhyasa.
Dustasya vidadhyasa.
Ayaso.
Ayaso.
Observation of life.
Observation of life.
Apachayam.
Apachayam.
Diminution.
Janto,
janto of the living entity. Tata,
similarly,
eva,
also,
upachayam,
increase,
vibhu,
the
Supreme Personality of Godhead, abhavyam, from both of them, rahita,
free,
svasta,
always
situated in his transcendental position.
Always situated in his transcendental position.
Dustasya,
dustasya,
of living entities under
the
laws of karma.
Vidadati,
a word,
aso,
he. Translation, therefore, by his divine grace, Sri Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is all powerful, and he awards the results of one's fruitive activities. Thus, although one living entity's duration of life is very small, whereas that of another is very great, he is always in his transcendental position, and there is no question of lessening or increasing his duration of life. Both the mosquito and Lord Brahma are living entities in the material world. Both are minute parts, or rather both are minute sparks, and are part of the Supreme Lord. The very short duration of the life of the mosquito and the very long lifetime of Lord Brahma are both awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the results of their karma. But in the Brahma Samhita we find it said, Kamani Nirdahati. The Lord diminishes or vanquishes the reactions of devotees. The same fact is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Yagartat karmanam yatra. One should perform karma only for the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Otherwise one is bound by the action and reaction of karma. Under the laws of karma, a living entity wanders within the universe under the rule of eternal time. Sometimes he becomes a mosquito and sometimes Lord Brahma. To a sane man, this business is not very fruitful. Bhagavad Gita 9.25 gives a warning to the living entities, Yanti Deva Bhutale Van. Those who are addicted to the worship of demigods are the planets of the demigods. Those who are addicted to the worship of the Pitas, forefathers go to the Pitas. Those who are inclined to material activities remain in the material sphere, but persons who engage in devotional service reach the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where there is neither birth nor death, nor different varieties of life under the influence of the laws of karma. The best interest of a living entity is to engage himself in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead. Shiva Bhaktivinoda Kaur advised, my dear friend, you are being washed away in material nature's waves of time. Please try to understand that you are the eternal servant of verb, then everything will stop and you will be eternally happy.
Suffering the reactions of karma.
So here we are, we're not mosquitoes, we're Lord Brahma, we're somewhere in the middle. We have the choices. What are we going to do? What will our actions be? Are we going to act foolishly to gratify our material senses? Are we going to act intelligently to serve Krishna? We have the choice of every minute. Our every thought, our every word, and our every deed is creating our future. What kind of future do you want? See, you're creating it right now by being in Bhagavatam, that Kijai. Smart move. You're creating your future right now. So by the mercy of the divine grace Srila Prabhupada, we have this great opportunity to finish up this karma chakra. There's three types of karma, you see. There's karma, pious activities, vikarma, or sinful activities, and akarma means transcendental activities that don't accrue any karmic reaction. By engaging in akarmic activities like hearing Bhagavatam or chanting Hare Krishna or taking prasad, you neutralize your karma and vikarma. It's all neutralized, you see. So we all have a stock of karma and vikarma, pious and sinful activities. A big, humongous stock of karma and vikarma. So the idea is, the more you engage in devotional activities, our karma, you gradually get rid of it. And then comes the point of nil, Krishna becomes nirvana. As I say many times, Prabhupada told me that one I can never forget. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. When your karma is completely neutralized, now you're fully absorbed in bhakti. Your only business is to please Krishna, and Krishna becomes your enemy. Even now in this present body, it can happen. Of course, I know I'm far from it, but it's possible. Prabhupada told me to do it. Now you qualify yourself to see Krishna. So at least we can work on it and make some progress. The beauty of this process is even when you're in the process, it's ecstatic. It's like you're really dirty, you know, you've not, and I'm doing all kinds of work. Your body is absolutely filthy, but you're in the shower scrubbing and rubbing. And no one will criticize you for being dirty. Well, he's in the shower. So, even though we're filthy, we've got all this karma and karma crud, you know, contaminated. It's really heavy, heavy contamination. If we're in the shower, we're considered as good as clean. It's amazing. Prabhupada was at, I think they call him Swamiji. Swamiji, how many pure devotees are in the world? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in this country? Of course, we have to live up to that. It's not automatic, you know. You have to live up to it by following the regulated principles and chanting and chakra and biblically. But the fact is, we are in the cleansing process now. We strictly follow Prabhupada's instructions. We are in the cleansing process, and we're gradually getting rid of all that karmic reactions. Gradually. That's why the more you practice Krishna consciousness, the more ecstatic it becomes. I've been doing it for almost 50 years now. And it's a huge difference. Sometimes I reflect back on when I was a young brahmachari, 22-year-old kid. I'm just thinking about it today. Unfortunately, many of my godbrothers are gone. I still remember even good advice they gave me, but they didn't keep their own advice. They didn't follow their own advice. So many godbrothers and god sisters have come and gone. But somehow or other, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, by having good association with a very good Krishna conscious wife, I've been blessed in so many ways. I'm here, still here in the process. Krishna sending so many nice disciples, that's a great encouragement for me. Preaching. So many wonderful disciples all over the world. He's given me enthusiasm and continue this process. See, so many sincere disciples, so many wonderful devotees, so many wonderful programs. That kirtan yesterday was amazing. This place is tonight. Usually it's cold in this room, but it wasn't cold yesterday. So many nice things going on here in ISKCON. It's really, really encouraging to see the deities, the same deities that drop up. You can see the video on the Prabhupada here in Melbourne, you know, isn't it? Same temple Prabhupada is actually here in this room. So there's so many things, we just remember them and celebrate them within our hearts. And we get great enthusiasm, we go and keep on going, keep on going. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to get up in the morning, it's a struggle to follow all the principles sometimes. Difficult. The senses are nagging. It's, come on, give me some sense gratification. You have to be strong. No, 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 you can't have it. You rascal. You rascal, Tom. You're only going to get prasadam. Your genitals, no sex life unless you're procreating according to the principles. Otherwise, forget it. You have to be strong. Tough. It's called Goswami. We're all meant to be Goswami, seriously. Even if you're not a sannyasi, you're still supposed to be a Goswami, master of your senses. If you're not a master of your senses, you're called Godas, a servant of your senses. If you're a servant of your senses, you take birth again in this material world. So all of us, Brahmachari, Brahmacharini, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, we must also be Goswamis, masters of our senses. That means to engage the mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals, all in the service of Krishna 24/7. Always in service of Krishna, always engage in the service of Krishna. In this way, we actually learn to relish the amazing pastimes of Krishna. This is the beauty of doing the austerity of controlling your senses. You can really, really deeply relish Krishna's pastime. Krishna's name, his fame, his form, his forms, his pastimes, his entourage, his paraphernalia. One can learn to embellish all of them very, very deeply. The more you bring your senses under control. So there's a great reward for repentance and austerity. A fantastic reward. More valuable than even a holy post of Lord Brahma, who has unlimited wealth and power and so many, all the material. No materialist on this planet can compete with Lord Brahma. But the devotee becomes even more well situated than Brahmaji himself. Of course, Brahmaji is a devotee, that's another thing. But sometimes there are non-devotee Brahmas also. That's how we ended up here. You know that Baba says the first birth of living entity in the material world is Lord Brahma. So every one of us was a Brahma, even these little kids. We were all Lord Brahma when he first entered the material world. It's pretty amazing. Think about it. We were non-devotee Brahmas, that's why we came down. A devotee Brahma will go back. You have come down and be mine and go back. But non-devotee Brahmas, they come down. So we were all non-devotee Brahmas. So there are non-devotee Brahmas. But we, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we have the opportunity to become greater than transcendently situated beyond the material existence. just have to be serious about this process. That now I have one business and one business only, and that is to awaken pure love of God within my heart. And within it, of course, is giving Krishna to everyone else, you see. In this age of Kali, that is earth, the Sankirtan Yajna, distributing the mercy of Krishna. This is our yajna that we do for our own purification. So the world deliverance mission is actually part of our self-deliverance mission. So there's no, it's not like, should I save myself or should I preach? No, you do both things. One time I was asked, well, what's the balance? How much time you should spend saving yourself and how much time saving the world? I said, well, from 4 a.m. to 9 a.m., save yourself. From 9 to 5, save the world. 5 to 9, save yourself. Of course, for those who are working jobs, weekend workers, and weekend saving. That's a wonderful program that Papa has given us. We're getting more sublime than this. The sublimity of what Prabhupada has given us is not different from the sublimity tasted by the Vrijavasis in Goloka Vrindavan, if you can imagine that. Being in ISKCON and fully absorbed in Prabhupada's instructions is not different from being in Goloka Vrindavan. That's how special it is to be sheltered by Prabhupada, you know. Amazing thing. Not different than being in the Loka Vrindavan. So let's take full advantage of it. Make our lives successful and not flirt with Maya Devi anymore. Maya Devi is very attractive, you know. She's very cunning. She can trick us very easily into becoming slaves of our senses. I've seen it with so many godfathers who left. Yes. She's very tricky, even though they were Krishna conscious. Maya tricked them, they were duped. Now they're gone. Yes. I actually searched on the internet the other day. I looked on Google News, you can type in ISKCON. Brings up all the ISKCON news from all over the world. It's interesting. So there was one devotee, a disciple, Tamal Krishna Goswami, who helped him open up Hong Kong. Tamal Krishna Goswami's idea was to introduce yoga to Hong Kong and attract them in that way and then make them devotees. It was a very successful strategy. So he went there to help pioneer the whole movement in Hong Kong, but then he left. And now he's a famous yogi. And he mentioned he used to be a Hare Krishna, the Oracle Mission. He used to be a Hare Krishna. He's not anymore. Now he's a, so I can see, you know, he was instrumentally engaged in opening the whole China mission began there in Hong Kong. And that yoga was a technique that Tamal Krishna was under. But he's gone. He played such a key role in Lord Chaitanya's movement at that moment in his kind of history. So I just see how Maya is very tricky. So we ought to be very careful. We should not think, oh yeah, I'm really fixed up. I can never fall down. Yeah. I'm really fixed up, you know. And to always feel very meek and humble. And just begging the mercy of Guru and Krishna. What is Prabhupada's prayer? Save me a fallen, your divine grace. And his prayer, Adora Dori on the happy day, says, save me a fallen, your divine grace. Can you imagine Prabhupada is praying to his spiritual minister that I'm fallen? Please save me. Please save me. Please save me. That humility of begging to be saved from your once fallen position is the secret of how to never fall down. Those who are constantly praying to be saved from their fallen position never fall.
And that's the key.
If you want to stay in this process for your whole life and never fall down, always be in that mood of praying to Guru and Krishna to save you from your fallen position. That's the secret of success. Learn from Prabhupada. You may say, but if I had fallen, wouldn't I be morose? Was Prabhupada morose? Prabhupada was the most ecstatic person you could ever imagine. So if you follow that mood that Prabhupada teaches, you become the most ecstatic person in the universe. If you follow Prabhupada's movements. Materially, it doesn't make sense. In the material world, the more you feel big, powerful, yes, I am great, that's your aesthetic, all that happiness, you see. But in the spiritual world, the more you become lower than the strongest feet, that's your happiness, you see. Materialists can't grasp this. They become humble, they think it's like, you know, some horrible position to be in, you know, humble. But we know from our great acharyas, you see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, the Goswamis. We learn this humility is the key how to unlock the eternal nature, the spiritual being who we actually are. How to get back to our transcendental position, be completely beyond the material existence. We have to perfect the art of humility. That doesn't mean that we're not powerful. Prabhupada said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. He also said, that's an interesting mix. Lower the straw on the street and acting like a king. It's an interesting mix, isn't it? This is why you need an acharya actually to see how to do this, because it maybe it's just to figure it out by reading about it, maybe a little difficult, you see. And when you see an acharya is actually doing it, you see. He's the most powerful and the most humble at the same time. It's a pretty amazing combination. And from Prabhupada we learn this. The most humble, the most humble and the most powerful person at the same time. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. Yes, Prabhu. Who's going to be my the amplifier now? Sit near me and tell me what they're saying. Yeah, you can sit there. I have some hearing problems. So my hearing aids are not that good. So this is my physical hearing aid too. Okay. Maybe I'll hear this. Let me try.
You were telling about how devotees come into Krishna consciousness and then Maya trying to attract them. Why would that happen? Because Krishna also wants the devotees to come back to his place, and then you know it's like a war. So why would that happen? Or is it Krishna lying?
You mentioned that Maya attracts the devotees. But at the same time, Krishna also wants his devotees back home. So then why it happens that Maya attracts the devotees?
Well, Maya is actually there to get rid of all the cheaters. She's like the, it's like they have in the tavern they have the bouncer to get rid of them. She's like the bouncer, Krishna's bouncer, to keep the people who are not really qualified out. Who have some ulterior motives. She's there to weed out those people not really sincere in their desire to serve Krishna. They have some sincerity and insincerities. Because the spiritual world means a place of absolute purity. If you have any tinge of a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, you'll be here in the material world. Spiritual world means completely. If you have any slight thought that why I can't be the supreme, you won't be in the spiritual world, you'll be in the material world. Even the slightest tinge of a tinge of a tinge that why I can't be the supreme, you won't be here. You won't be in the spiritual world. So Maya is there to weed out those who are not absolutely true. Does that make sense to you? Next. Yes.
What you are saying is Maya is testing us all the time.
Maya is assisting us?
Testing.
Well, maybe if you're properly situated, she doesn't have to test you. Thing is, Maya, Maya Devi does two things. When you're still in an iffy position, she will check, test you. But when you actually show that you're absolutely sincere and genuine, then she'll assist you in your service to Krishna. She has two roles in play. She'll assist you in serving Krishna. To become your servant, to help you serve Krishna.
In case of Haridas Thakur, Maya came, so there is a choice for the devotee to take the Maya or give the Maya.
Yeah.
Like Haridas Thakur, Maya came, alluring him or also, so that then Haridas chose not the Maya, but Haridas.
Yeah.
So if there is an independence that we have, so what we're going to choose from Maya, there is so much Maya attracting us. It's not that Maya is testing us, but Maya is there. And then what we choose, the shelter of Maya or Krishna. So we have to use our independence and see what we want.
See, as soon as you go out on the street, Maya is everywhere. Oh, this light yesterday, we were driving. You're driving along the beach over there. There was the pony ride, there was the skydivers, and all these distractions, you know. You get attracted by that stuff. Well, the pony ride. I mean, you know, Maya is everywhere in Melbourne and in New Jersey. Maya is everywhere. So are you attracted to go out and try to enjoy Maya, or are you Maya? Engage Maya in Krishna service. We have a choice. I think you have a question back here.
This is like because we have come to the course, we want to do the course. If there is no exam, we are not going to study. So same thing, we come as devotees. If there is no Maya, that's like exam, we are not going to be serious. Is it that?
Is it like us taking a university course where we have exam? So Maya is like an exam where...
Yeah, Maya is like that. She's in the exam. Maya is the tester. She's examining.
Maya is the controller of this world. Now you have a choice, independent choice. You're going to take Maya or Krishna.
Maya is testing you. Are you serious about being in the body or you want to enjoy this new material?
Maya is already there. We are in the material world. Maya is the warden of this material world, and she is going to be there.
Are you saying we're tested? We are tested.
Yes. We are always allured by Maya. Everywhere we are bombarded. You see the billboard, it's Maya there. What are you going to take, that billboard, or you take on a Bhagavatam?
The material consciousness, you're totally in Maya's grip.
Yes.
But somebody who takes the Krishna consciousness is saying, I want to reject Maya, they say. Then they are testing.
Maya is unknown happiness.
Any other question? Yeah.
Maharaj, you were saying that now we tend to be better than Brahma, Indra Brahma, because when we first came, they were as Brahma. Now we tend to be devotees.
Maharaj, you said that Lord Brahma, and you gave example of Lord Brahma and mosquito. Now, Lord Brahma is also a devotee.
Sometimes, but the position is not necessarily. Sometimes they are devotees, sometimes they are not devotees.
So,
the position of Brahma doesn't automatically make one devotee. Our devotee, our Brahma right now is a devotee, but Brahmas are not always devotees.
But at the same time, we are also trying to become devotees. So, how we can understand that we will become...
Becoming a devotee is indeed being in a better position than being Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma doesn't mean you're a devotee automatically. It's a position. There are non-devotee Brahmas. So to be a devotee is to be in a better position than in the position of being Lord Brahma. That's my point. Next. Yeah.
Shagadev, you mentioned about that devotee in Hong Kong, US, who have established in the yoga center and eventually devotees. But then how the yoga became like a Maya's instrument to distract that devotee, like...
Well, he had some prestige as being a yogi, a yoga teacher. Money, it's easy, he earns a good living. He's very adept, and he was so adept that he put him on the news. He's so adept and he uses yoga, and doing all these incredible postures. Yeah, there's money and prestige in it.
So, Shri, as we progress, do we face different types of like Maya's instrument, as in like a more gross, more subtle, and like prestige is subtle, very subtle, where like going to cinema is very physical. So how we make our intelligence strong enough that we take a right choice?
To make your intelligence strong, then your mind shows you to constantly read Prabhupada's books and chant Hare Krishna every day, at least 16 minutes, and follow the principles. And associate with devotees, and follow the ordinary spiritual master in this way. You will be protected from material nature. And even I had disciples here in Melbourne who gone, because they didn't. They didn't follow these instructions, and they become carried away by their senses. It's a very sad thing, and it breaks my heart. But if we don't actually stick with the standard process, this is a healing process. And if you don't follow the healing process, we're in the middle, right now we're in a disease state. And we have a process that is healing us. But if you stop following the healing process, the disease will again take over of you. The previous disease we had that got us here to begin with, material consciousness, is a disease. Krishna consciousness is the cure for the disease. So if you become slack in your practice of Krishna consciousness, the disease will again come up again. You see, right in the middle of curing ourselves of the disease, you can't stop the healing process. You're trying to recover from the disease. You have to keep going strong with the healing process, and gradually the disease will go away. But if you slack off in the healing process, the disease will again take over your whole consciousness. And that's what happened to my disciples here. Krishna and Bhagavan and Das. Krishna Das and Bhagavan. Because they slacked off in their healing process. Yeah.
Is it that while following the process, halfway through we, like, one may become puffed up that, okay, now he is cured or he is completely cured? Or
yeah, that can happen. Yes, now I'm Brahman. Yes, don't you see, now I'm pulled out of the thread. Fixed up. You better listen to me. I'm a Brahmin. I've been here for 5 years and I know what I'm talking about. You listen to me, you understand. Don't become proud. Now, I've been here for almost 50 years and I'm trying to always stay very humble. I've been here for 50 years. So the more you, the real sign of advancement is you become more, the more you feel humble, that's the real sign of somebody who's advancing in Krishna consciousness. Not that you want to show off your great advancement. I mean, there's so many devotees of that. Big sannyasis, GVCs, gurus even. Can you imagine? But those who just humbly serve the Lord and Guru Krishna, day in and day out, trying, embracing this healing process of Krishna consciousness, is the greatest boon that I've ever had in millions and billions of lifetimes. Those persons become successful. They achieve Krishna. And they have a powerful impact on the world around them too. Naturally. You don't need a big position, you don't need a title. All you need is love and control. Anything else? Yes.
When Lord Chaitanya was traveling, Krishna Das also was ruled by the Maya. Lord Chaitanya pulled him back and got him back. So do we have a similar process in this ISKCON to bring back the devotees who have gone away?
If we have a process of bringing them back, then we can certainly try. We can certainly make that attempt. If they're determined to leave, what you can do? If they have preached to them, they say, no, Gurudev, you're wrong. What can I do? Gurudev, you're wrong. If they're that determined, what can you do? You tell them the truth, they say, you are wrong. What you can do? All you can do is cry.
This is what I say.
Huh? It's not that Maya is testing. We want to go to her. It's not Maya testing. Maya is there, you are embrace Maya or you embrace Krishna's lotus feet. There's a
truth
in that. Yeah, we have to make that endeavor to rescue those souls who've gone away. You can rescue some of them, maybe not all of them, but you can rescue some of them. I mean, I think of so many godbrothers, I'm just thinking, how can I get in touch with them? You know, it's like one godbrother, Dronacharya Guru Das Brahmacharya. I mean, I haven't had any contact with him since 1976. Now, how would I even find him? I was the cook in the kitchen in those days. He was going out on Sankirtan, and he said, Sankarshan, we're going to burn it up on Sankirtan, but don't you burn it up in the kitchen. He's a wonderful godbrother, but where is he? I don't know how to even find him. You know? I would love to try to preach to him, you know. But he's been gone for decades. How would I even find him? I mean, I would love to find Dronacharya Gurudas Brahmacharya and preach to him, but I mean, 1976, that's like 42 years ago, the last time I saw him. And on Facebook, he's certainly not using his devotee name. So how would I even find him? So that's my frustration. There's so many godbrothers I would love to reach out to and say, hey, you know, it's really great. His kind is fantastic. Why don't you come back? You know, but I had a way of contacting him. I would certainly do it. I would love to. Out to these people that I know who are dear to me in my younger days of Krishna consciousness. I would love to reach out to them, find them. It'd be great.
Falling down is easy, going up is difficult.
It's very easy to fall and so hard to climb.
Prabhupada said once that. Don't be surprised anybody falls down, but be surprised anyone who stays.
Yeah, you all have great credit. Those of you, you're here, you're sticking with the process. It's all you, the great credit of all of you. Yeah, I'll be greatly credited. Yes?
Yeah, you just tell us, how do you do when you
travel
around every day, video for the day, every day, emails, it's so really so educational, so much.
over the years and years, you have been doing this thought for the day video. So how do you do all these activities day and day?
That is part of my regulated thing, you know. Mangalarti, japa, thought for the day, it is part of my regulated services. It's like I've already finished the one for tomorrow. So I just do it. I have what's called thought for the day. It goes out to me. 26,000 subscribers. Soon it's going to be 27,000. And new people are signing up every day. If anybody's interested, just go to jointcourse.com. So it's a newsletter that goes out all over the world the questions and answers are there, the video for the day, and the thoughts of the day. Man. So you must be one of my subscribers. It's just part of my sadhana. That's my japa, thought for the day. I don't neglect it. You know, I skip a meal, I'll do thought for the day. But I don't skip meals. I got to get it all done. The point is, it has to be done. Absolutely. Must be done. It's like my japa. You just make it a priority and something gets done. I don't think I've ever missed. It's been going on for decades. What, 20 years now or something? I don't know when I started and now I forgot, but for many, many years I've been there. It's ecstatic. I wonder if, I guess I can go back to God to help this God, but maybe I can do it from there too.
Instructions, like as you said today, about seeing Krishna face to face.
Yeah.
So your meditation is so intense all the time, every time I hear you. So what is lacking in us for that intensity, and how do we develop such intense meditation on instructions? And keeps
going. Shabu, you always mention about Krishna consciousness and meditating on Krishna. I see your intention, your intensity of meditation is so strong on Krishna, as per the Prabhupada's instruction. How do I develop this intensity meditating on Krishna? What is lacking in my meditation?
Is this just a matter of being a little intelligent?
Prabhupada's instruction.
It's just a matter of being a little intelligent. I mean, I have about maybe 10 letters from Prabhupada. And those are my greatest treasures. Prabhupada's personal instructions to me. So, it's just a matter of being intelligent and understanding this is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, took the time and trouble to answer this letter from Sankarshan Das Brahmachari, some crazy hippie who became a devotee. He took the time and trouble. He had so much love and compassion. He took the time and trouble to write me a letter. I mean, I just can't imagine what a great treasure that is. It's beyond my conception. I'm just saying how fortunate I actually am to have received those personal instructions from Prabhupada. So they're my greatest treasure. The first letter I got, he said, I can see, this is an amazing blessing. He said, I can see you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Now continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Wow! Who could ask you something more than that? Prabhupada guaranteed me, I promised Krishna blessed me, but I just always made his enthusiasm, spread this movement, you see. So it's just a matter of being intelligent. Don't be a dull-headed fool. Be intelligent. When you get a powerful instruction that can completely liberate you from this material existence, you should take it as the greatest blessing and hold on to it as your greatest treasure. That's my greatest treasure. Next. Actually, are we over time now? When do we normally?
8:30.
Alright, we're 15 minutes. Alright. This is my last lecture, so it was okay. We will stop here, and we thank you all so much for tuning in to the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada flood the whole universe with its Hare Krishna prema ki jai. Gaura prema ki jai.